Hi, I'm Sharon Sneer. You're listening to Grief's Gift, a podcast that explores stories of loss and grief, and how and where to find within these painful times some of life's most beautiful gifts. We all have the freedom to make choices out of the losses we experience. Courageous, creative, collaborative, and conscious choices that so often become the gifts we hold most dear. So welcome to the conversations, meditations, and connections that are grief's gift. Following on from the first episode of Makai Ravel, I've come to understand from a number of people that the recording was not clear and that much of Makai's words were a bit muffled. I need to apologize for that because my sound equipment really isn't of an advanced standing, and recording someone who's talking into what I assume is an iPhone, perhaps even from a distance, didn't allow his voice to be recorded clearly. So I have recorded a story that I wrote many, many years ago when I first met Makaya, and I'm hoping that this can put you into the picture a little bit more clearly before we put on episode 2 of Makai Ravel. I hope you enjoy it. It's called Makaya, the Eldest Son. Sometimes when you leave your home with little else on your mind but a driving lesson, when suddenly something happens which changes your life and the lives of everyone who knew you and the lives of anyone who will meet you in the future, the unexpected can happen. Makai was only 14 when his father told him to learn to drive so that he would one day become a truck driver. He lived in the Congo. His mother's name was Marie. This is his story. Marie fell pregnant at 18 while she was attending university. She came from a middle-class family and they wanted her to have an abortion. They did everything to convince her. One day, without her knowledge, her father arranged for her to be given some shamanic medicine. This medicine was to cause an abortion. Although she was tricked into taking it, she did not lose her baby, but she did become very ill. She went to see a priest who, it was believed, had magic and supernatural powers, and she begged him to help her have a healthy baby. He agreed, but only on one condition, that the baby would be named after him. Marie agreed. Marie did not get married, but she and her boyfriend lived together, and she did have a healthy baby boy. Soon she gave birth to another boy, and another, and another, and another. The father never believed his eldest son was really his child, and unfortunately showed him no love. When the eldest son was 14, he went out to have a driving lesson. His father was in hospital with tuberculosis, and being the eldest son, he knew what was expected of him. He had to start earning and supporting the family. It was evening and the sun had already gone down. Suddenly there was a crash, and that eldest son had hit a car that had no lights on. It was a police car that had stopped and two police officers were standing in front of it. The car lunged forward and both police officers became trapped under the wheels of the car. "Run, run, run," yelled the driving instructor. "Run or you'll be killed." The eldest son ran to a friend's house, but the friend, knowing he too would be killed if he hid his friend, told him to run away. So he ran down to the port and boarded a ship where he hid until it set sail. He never saw his mother or his father again. The police came to his house looking for him, shooting through the walls of the house. His young brother was hit by a bullet in the leg, which became infected, and he died 2 weeks later. Then the police came to the hospital to ask the father where was his son. He answered truthfully that he didn't know. The police beat him severely, and he died the next day from his injuries. Meanwhile, the son had remained on a ship boarded for Argentina. He had anticipated that he would get off the boat the next day and find a way to protect himself. The ship named Ariel had an Israeli captain who protected this elder son because the ship set sail the next day. As they approached Argentina, the captain requested that they take this young man. However, his entry was forbidden, and so they sailed to another South American country, where yet again he was refused entry. Eventually, the boy, now called Johnny, was allowed entry into the United States, where he was placed in a detention center, and there he remained for 14 months. Meanwhile, back in the Congo, the police had bulldozed his family home, and Marie and the boys had to find shelter where they could. After 14 months, Johnny was placed in a number of foster homes where he was treated abominably. For 2 years, he went from home to home. He was put into a school for asylum seekers, eventually called Friendship House, and slowly he learned English. This became his fifth language, 3 Congolese languages, including French. One day he was introduced to a woman who was counseling one of his friends at Friendship House. This woman's name was Dr. Elizabeth Revell, who was a dear friend of mine. And she offered to take Johnny and his friend to a special dinner being held by the school. And soon she and Alvin, her beautiful husband, began to see more and more of this boy, Johnny. One day, Elizabeth asked him, "What's your real name?" And Johnny told her the story of the priest and the problems it caused by not having either his mother or his father's name. She asked him that if he could choose a name, what would it be? And Johnny replied he would think about it. One day, Johnny was called to the principal's office and was told that his mother, Marie, had died of tuberculosis. Dr. Elizabeth and Alvin Revell supported him and helped him to go to church and to pray for his mother. He told Elizabeth that his mother's name was Micaiah Marie, and that he would like to be called by his mother's name. And so Micaiah was reborn for the third time. Meanwhile, his brothers had no home. They wandered the streets, having sat on the floor of the hospital, waiting for their mother to get well or to die. Someone recognized one of the brothers and took him to a woman who was the principal of a school. Charlotte was her name, and she agreed to protect him and sent people out to look for his two brothers. The three boys' names were Trésor, Karine, and Miguel. It was a miracle the children were still alive and that they were found. Charlotte agreed to put them up in a school shelter secretly so that the police would not know. Micaiah phoned a friend who knew where her brothers were, so the children were back in touch. Meanwhile, Elizabeth and Revell had literally fallen in love with this gentle African and asked him, would he like to be adopted? His yes was instantaneous, and so even though America does not recognize Micaiah as a federal citizen and will not as long as the laws remain the same, the state laws allowed the adoption to go through. As you know from the episode with Micaiah, he now lives with his mother, Dr. Elizabeth Revell. Unfortunately, Dr. Alvin Revell has since passed. The interview carries on with Micaiah sharing how he continued in his studies, thanks to Elizabeth, not only in his bachelor's, but in his master's degree, and becoming probably one of the first International Ambassadors for Peace, who was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo, who now lives in the United States of America. So I hope you enjoy episode 2 of Makaya's life and are able to imagine how much this young man has gone through and how much out of the grief and loss of the early part of his life he found the true purpose for his life now.